Today on Real Radio.
If you are prone to having challenges in your life, you want to write this down. If you're prone to even remotely worry or be concerned about something, you got to write this verse down that's coming up. If you have kids, write this verse down. If you're married, write down this verse.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his series through Paul's second New Testament letter to the Corinthians. We're looking at the last two verses of chapter 3 in 2 Corinthians. It's a brief mention by the apostle that wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is not only transformation, but also freedom. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs now. It's a lesson called, Here is Liberty.
Have you not been liberated? So much that the Bible says, God says, call me dad. Can you do that? Oh, I don't know. That's kind of sacrilegious. If you're a legalistic person, I could understand where you're coming from, but I'm not. I used to be, but I'm not. I'm a son. And the son turns to his dad and says, Dad. The Bible says in Galatians 5, verse 1, this is a verse, if you and I have ever talked anywhere and you've got something gripping your life, Galatians 5, 1 is the verse that I most often give you because it's a verse that has liberated me and set me free from tremendous things in my life. So please write this verse down. You don't have to get this prescription filled. You don't have to go spend any money for this. And I'm telling you right now, this did for me what no prescription could ever accomplish. What I'm going to give you in a moment gave me power and freedom from stuff that most people, it could kill them in life, or they never shake it, or whatever it is. I'm going to give it to you right now. You ready? Say, shut up and give it to me. Here it is, Galatians 5:1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. And do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. You have a temper? That was my big scourge in life, is my temper. This verse, I copied it out. Back in those days, there were Xerox machines. Computer, for the public anyway, had not yet been invented. We had typewriters. And I put this verse all over, when I got saved in 1977, I put verses up all over my bedroom, in my car, I put them up at work. This headed up the list of verses right here. I was so set before coming to Christ to right the wrongs in my life that had been done against me, I was on a crusade. I won't tell you the things that happened to me in life, but I was out to hunt them down. And that's okay, you know what? I would have been a great terrorist because I thought, I'll get him in 5 years. I'll get her in 3. And I'm going to wait 18 months to get him. And then Jesus messed up the whole plan. I systematically hunted my offenders. And the Lord gave me this verse. And I remember saying, Lord, what am I going to do with my life if I don't have this to do? And he said, I'm sure he must have said to me, I'll think of something for you to do. Second point is this. Here is liberty. The Lord is our transformer. The Lord is our transformer. But we, he says, verse 18, with unveiled face. Keep that in mind with the context of this chapter's teaching. Moses' face had been veiled. No, we have an unveiled face. Think of the theological glories this is telling us about. Beholding, it just gets better, as in a mirror. That's crystal clear. The glory of the Lord, and it gets better. And being transformed. The word being is actually in the present tense. We are constantly being transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. Constantly, he's at work. If you're sick or not, if you're happy or not, if the sun is out or not, If you feel like it or not, God is still working. Isn't that awesome? And working in your life. He does it this way, revelation. He's our revelation. Verse 18 says, but we all with unveiled face. The word means that God is revealing himself to the Christian today. The person, listen, he's not revealing himself to the Christian because the person has attached the Christian label. Forgive me. He is saying this, I will unveil the face of the person who's longing for me, which should be the Christian. Hello? Do you want me in your life? Yes! Then come and be a Christ follower, a Christian. And what will happen to me, Lord? I will take away the veil, and you and I will converse with each other in the spiritual realm with an unveiled face. Oh. It's by revelation. The second thing is by illumination. Beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. What Moses saw, this is amazing. I don't even feel like saying it. It's so amazing. I should take my shoes off before I say what I'm about to say. Moses interacted with God as close as you could possibly get when God said to the children of Israel, I don't speak to anybody else on the planet like I do with Moses. Him I speak face to face. When you and I read in the English face to face, it's not face to face like you and I think. It's as close as they could possibly have gotten. That's how we talk. That's the atmosphere. God could only get so close to Moses, or else what would happen to Moses? Because God's not a human. And he's light. You think going to the doctor, getting an x-ray machine? It's funny, huh? The guy takes an x-ray of you. They go back behind a wall with lead in a robe on, a lead thing. Okay, you ready? You don't feel anything. But man, in the scientific realm, that's invisible to you. Your body just got hit by a very, very nasty thing. I got a friend that flies 3 times a week. Every day for 14 years now. No, I say every day. He's off 2 days a week. I'm talking about Tony Perkins. The guy flies more than any human being I've ever known. And he's over the limit of getting bombarded with radiation from airports. So when we're down in Louisiana goofing around, we'll use him out front as a light bulb. Get some gator hunting out there. No, I'm kidding, but I'm serious. It's not good. If that's true in the physical realm, imagine the glory of God. And the Bible says that he shined before Moses, and Moses, who was in hiding, think about it. What did God say? Moses says, I want to see you. God says, you can't see me, you're going to die. Ah, but I tell you what, you'll see where I've been. Isn't that amazing? You can only see where I've been. I'm so powerful that when I go by, I affect things when I go by. So I tell you what I do. I'm going to put you inside the crack of this big rock. There's a crack in that rock. Puts him inside there and then covers Moses' face. God passes by and lifts his hand, and Moses gets to see what is called the effervescence or the afterglow. It's where God was, and his face lit up. He came down the mountain, and the children of Israel were going, look at that face. And Moses veiled his face. Why am I saying this again to you week after week? Because this verse, verse 18, God says, forget all that stuff on the mountain and the atmosphere and the science of it all. Forget that junk. Forget the stuff about getting a suntan when I pass by. Forget it. That's of another testament. That was then, and the fulfillment of it is now. When I talk to my kids and my kids talk to me in the spirit, it's face to face, unveiled. Why do we doubt when we pray? Why do we doubt? Don't we doubt? You don't? I do. I have doubts sometimes. I don't doubt his existence. I doubt if he's going to do this. And it's funny. I have a lot of faith that I pray for you, Robin. God, heal her. And I'm going, yes. And then I stub my toe. Oh, God, heal me. And I'm like, will you really? Do you love me that much? Are we funny people? The Bible. This is the Bible. The inerrant, holy, perfect Word of God is announcing to you this morning, when you talk to me, it's face to face. I can't see you, God. I can't. Yeah, you know what? In a sense, we see him more clearly. It is awesome. He illuminates us. And we see, think about it, as in a mirror. Church, I want you to write this verse down. This is another one of those precious verses to me. It's Psalm 46:10. I'll just quote the first front end of it. It's what we're talking about this morning. If you are prone to having challenges in your life, you want to write this down. If you're prone to even remotely worry or be concerned about something, you ought to write this verse down that's coming up. If you have kids, write this verse down. If you're married, write down this verse. If you're able to write, write down the verse. It's Psalm 46:10. David said it, and it's these few words: be still and know that I am God. What might be the most liberating news you'll ever hear, because this opens the door to everything, and yet it's one of the hardest things to do in your life. In the 21st century, to be still. I mean, who does that? You have to fight. You have to work at being still. It is hard work. But of course, he's talking more of the stillness of your soul. You may need to get alone. I understand that. You may need to shut the door or climb the tree or get in the closet to get alone. I understand that. But the meaning is, divorce yourself from everything. Be still. And what's the next word? Yada. Yada. Be still and yada that I am God. Yada is Hebrew for discover, find out, know me in every situation. Be still, yes, Lord, and discover me, know me, find out it's me in all of your life situations. Who says this to us? God says this to us. Isn't it awesome? Don't you think we should be teaching our kids the Bible? Huh? If I was the dictator of America, I'd have it in every public school. You can't do it. I'm going to do it anyway. I'd do it anyway. But the ACLU can either repent or go to... Anyway. When you tell a kid God loves you and he wants you to discover his glory in every bit of your life situations, I can't think of how that's going to cause a child to become mentally nuts or whacked out. What great news that is to us. And I love it. The third thing under this second point is this: it's a pattern. The Lord is our transformer and he is our pattern. This is exciting. The word here, to be transformed, I need all of you to really get this down, because I really like it, to be honest with you, what this means. Transformed. The word means to take on the form, the shape, the resemblance, to become a, listen, look-alike. To become a look-alike image of Christ. Think about that. You wake up in the morning and... maybe you'll want to dress like your boss. Your boss is somebody you respect, and they're upwardly mobile, and they wear a red tie. And you go, I'm going to get a red tie, and I'm going to put it on, and I'm going to walk like he walks. I remember walking by, I was a freshman in high school, walking by the senior all-CIF running back at our high school. And I don't repeat this. I've never said this publicly in my life. But I was a freshman, he was a senior, and he walked a certain way, and he did something with his fingers all the time. He's just nervous twitch, I guess. And I remember my freshman year wanting to run like him, wanting to act like him. He never talked. Now, you know how impossible that was for me. He never talked. He was quiet. Just a stud of a guy. He's just, no, people parted. Like, he was, and here I am, like 98 pounds behind him. You know? And he wore Converse high top shoes with Levi 501 jeans and Pennytown Craft t-shirts. And I bought those same things. And I walked, I remember doing the same thing with my fingers. Why? So the anointing would come. So I could run with the ball like he ran with the ball. That's exactly the meaning of this word. To take on. What did Jesus do? He did that. I'm going to do that. What did Jesus do in that situation? I'm going to do that. Are you with me? It's exciting, huh? To be the pattern of. And I like that. Listen to this. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 32. This is it lived out in the Old Testament. 2 Kings, turn there, chapter 4, verse 32. I'll read it in a second. Why is it important? This word transformed, as I told you a moment ago, to assume, to take on, to be a lookalike. We get the English word metamorphosis, or we use the word in English as metamorphosis more accurately. It's the same, listen, church, it's the same situation that happened on the Mount of Transfiguration. Do you remember when Jesus went to the Mount of Transfiguration? By the way, it was not the Mount of Transfiguration until he got there. Hello. He didn't go, come on, Peter, James, John, let's go up to the Mount of Transfiguration. It wasn't like that. It was Mount Hermon, I believe, covered in snow, beautiful. It's the highest mountain in Israel, almost 10,000 feet. It's huge. They start going up the mountain. And you know what happens? Who shows up? Moses and Elijah show up from heaven. They show up. And the Bible, listen, the Bible says Jesus was transformed in front of them. Are you sitting down? Listen to this. The word transformed means that the glory came from the inside out. He was not, remember how Moses was affected by the glory of God from the outside upon him? The Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus got up to the mountain and he began to pray and Moses and Elijah arrived. The word means the glory came out of him and lit them up. Don't think for a moment that while Jesus prayed, the heavens descended and he began to glow in all this illumination and Moses and Elijah brought to Jesus this glorious experience. It's the other way around. Moses and Elijah, eternity was revealed in front of Jesus as he prayed, and because he is God in flesh, he, from the inside out, transformed. The light came out, illuminated him, and it says Moses and Elijah appeared in glory. That's exactly what happens to us. It's happening to us on the inside first. Ladies and gentlemen, please grab this. Wouldn't it be great if the moment we accepted Jesus Christ, we just began to glow? Look, he's a Christian. Look, there's a Christian. Can you imagine? But that does happen on the inside. It takes all of our lives for the glow to start to come out. And when it starts to show and how you love people and take care of people and how you speak to people, it starts to show. Listen, eventually what happens is your inside outgrows your outside. It's called death for the Christian. We got to go. I mean, we got to go. We got to leave here someday. We got to die. I got cancer. You got to go. Are you a Christian? Yes. You don't want to stay here forever, do you? No. You want to go to heaven? Yes. You got cancer? I got cancer. Well, how are you going to get to heaven? There's not an elevator going from here to there. Now, the rapture could happen. That'd be cool. You know? But we got to get there. And because this world is ravaged by sin and by pain and by sorrow and by all the things that rebellion to God creates, listen, it affects us. But listen, the moment you and I leave here, it's because the inside of us has outgrown the outside. Got to go. Now, it says here, when Elijah came into the house, he comes into the house of the widow. She has the son that she had prayed for, by the way, that Elijah prayed and said that she would have a son someday. There was the child. So Elijah comes into the house of the lady, and there's the child. Here's the problem. He's lying dead on his bed. Remember, he was out in the field, got a headache. Bible says he had a headache. His headache got really bad. The kid began to cry about his headache. The kid dropped dead. He obviously had an aneurysm. Dead. Verse 33. Elijah went in, therefore, and shut the door behind him, and the two of them. That's just Elijah there's with the dead guy. The dead kid. And he prayed to the Lord, verse 34, and he went up and he laid on the child. Don't miss this. He laid on, the kid is dead. Elijah prays and then lays on the child. He doesn't lay on the child like. The word means he laid on the child in the exact same form. If the kid's hand was over here to the right, Elijah put his hand over there to the right. If the kid's other hand was down along his side and stretching out to the left, Elijah laid there and mimicked the exact same shape. Is this cool? You don't think it's cool? I think it's amazing. Why? Because we're being conformed by the Spirit of God into the image of Christ. So Elijah lays on him, watch this, and put his mouth on his mouth, his eyes on his eyes, his hands on his hands, and stretched out himself on the child. And the flesh of the child became warm. He returned and walked back and forth in the house, and again went up and stretched himself out on him, the child. Then the child sneezed 7 times, and the child opened his eyes. I don't know what's with the 7-time sneezing. I'm sure it means something. God put it in the Bible. Did he get Elisha's allergies? I don't know what happened. The point is, the prophet stretches himself out. Listen, you and I as Christians, from this moment, when you leave this place today, I want you to start thinking this way. Jesus is looking out of my eyes. From this moment on, because the Spirit of God dwells within you, I want you to be thinking, Jesus smells with my nose. When you leave here today, I want you to be thinking, Jesus touches with my hands. Jesus goes with my feet. When you leave here today, I want you to be thinking, Jesus speaks out of my mouth. Huh? You do that this week, and I think the community might think something's happened in your life. Here's the cool thing, and we're all done. You can't do this. Everything I told you is impossible. Have a nice day. It's completely humanly impossible. For 5,000 years, every January 1st, we've tried this. It doesn't work. But here's the good news. The Holy Spirit is inside of you, Christian, and he does the work. And it's so cool that when he does it, how many times have we, the Christian, been surprised by what God does in our lives?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called Here is Liberty, taken from the final 2 verses of 2 Corinthians chapter 3, where Paul writes about freedom and transformation in the life of the true believer. Here is Liberty is part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse look at this letter, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, there's an event coming up this Friday and Saturday, and Pastor Jack, you're going to be a part of it, right?
Well, David, that's exactly right. We're very excited about this opportunity. I've had a chance to speak at this event before. This is the Understanding the Times Conference. It's hosted by Olive Tree Ministries in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And the dates of this conference is going to be October 2nd and 3rd.
Okay.
And the location is going to be at the wonderful facilities of Grace Church. And that's 9301 Eden Prairie Road in Eden Prairie, Minnesota. And I'm really, really just honored and blessed to be among some of the speakers. Pastor Robert Jeffers from the church there in Dallas, Texas. Michelle Bachman. Many of you know her from her political positions and her political office, but she loves the Lord Jesus, and she can bring an amazing word to us. And then my good friend, we were able to get Amir Sarfati.
I love Amir.
Over from Israel. He'll be with us, and so it's going to be a tremendous weekend. You know, Davey, this is the largest Bible prophecy teaching event in America that I know of. Some 4,000 or 5,000 people will be in attendance. And listen, I hope you come on out. I'll be speaking on Friday night at 7 o'clock in the evening and Saturday again at 2:30 in the afternoon. But the whole weekend, no doubt, is going to be a tremendous time. That's Understanding the Times Prophecy Conference hosted by Olive Tree Ministries. And we're just indebted to Jan Markell and the great work that she's doing. So come on out and join us. Look forward to seeing you in the greater Minneapolis-St. Paul area.
Okay, remember that you can always visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org to get all the info. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.